Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is March the 24th, and we are gathered here to have a great radio show. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our producer. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam.
And also Mary Jo Bowser, our indispensable marketing rep for Griswold Home Care.
Well, thank you, Sam. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Very good.
It's a beautiful day, spring day in Atlanta. Things are starting to shape up weather-wise and temperature-wise. It will be great for about 60 days. So we're looking forward to that. But joining us today is a repeat guest, Terry Bowser. Terry is with CBC National Bank. He is a reverse mortgage specialist, and we're glad to have him back. We will tell everyone that Terry was kind and gracious enough to step in a time of urgency for us. So welcome back, Terry.
Thanks, Sam. Pleasure to be here.
I appreciate your help. Well, you were on the show, I think, probably about 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. We talked about CBC and reverse mortgages. But I'm sure we have many in the listening audience that either have additional questions or didn't hear that broadcast. So let's just begin, as we always do, and have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Grew up next door to West Virginia. I've heard that's a great state. Southwestern.
See, that's the way you do it, Mary. The way you did it, Mary Jo. That's the way you do it.
The great state of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's called?
That's what Sam calls it.
I had to stop and think about that. Now, I'm certain that's it, but go ahead. Go ahead. Maybe. Almost heaven is what they call it. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe state of adventure, something like that.
Okay.
Cheat Lake, Cheat River.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
Okay, let's get back on topic. I got to reel everyone back in now. Go ahead, Terry.
Grew up in a small town in southwestern Pennsylvania, a little town called Bedford. Went to a university that most people have never heard of, Indiana University.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Pitt. And obviously, I was having problems with that. Indiana University is great. We have no problems with Indiana University.
That's not the end of the name. Indiana University of
Pennsylvania. That's
in
right.
In Indiana, PA.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, but obviously, there are those that are not. Go ahead.
Spent a couple years serving Uncle Sam in Colorado after college. Got into sales, was involved with medical surgical supply sales to hospitals for 25 years, then was recruited by Wells Fargo in the reverse mortgage business about 8 years ago. And that's what I have been doing and continue doing on a daily basis.
Tell us a little bit why reverse mortgages.
Every day, 10,000 people turn 65 years old. That population is growing significantly. In 2010, there were about 40 million individuals in this country, age 65 and above. In the next 20 years, that population is going to double from 40 million to over 80 million. That's a significant growth in the population change. I see the benefits of reverse mortgage, how many people can be helped with that. Although that population segment is growing significantly, the savings, the 401ks, are not growing at the same pace. So a greater number of our seniors, 65 and above, are challenged with how to make ends meet.
Okay, so that kind of establishes the need. Why don't you briefly tell us about reverse mortgages at a high level? What are they, and typically how are they used?
Okay. Reverse mortgages have been around actually since 1989. They were introduced in the end of Ronald Reagan's era. A reverse mortgage is simply a home equity loan, a special type of home equity loan designed specifically for seniors. The homeowner has to be at least 62 years old. There are some exceptions, but primarily the homeowner has to be at least 62 years old. It's a loan different than typical home equity loans in that the loan does not have to be repaid as long as the homeowner continues to occupy the property. They can live there till they're 90, 100, 120 years old and never make a single repayment on that loan.
And let's clarify, in my mind, when we talk about a loan, and I know you're talking about a home equity loan, so I guess that's the difference. But when I talk about a loan, the first thing I go, who owns the home?
The senior borrower, the homeowner who originally has lived in the home, continues to live in that home, continues to hold title, has all the same benefits of the homeowner, so the loan does not affect the ownership, the occupancy, or the title of the home.
It's not a mortgage, in other words. Is that?
It's the name of the product is a mortgage, but it's not.
Oh, really?
It's not a mortgage as we have always known it. The name most recognized by the public and by professionals is reverse mortgage. The 99% of all reverse mortgages done are with FHA, mm-hmm. and the FHA name for reverse mortgage is a home equity conversion mortgage. The acronym is HECM, home equity conversion mortgage. So if you hear HECM, that's what the product is. It's an FHA reverse mortgage.
I guess in my mind, when I think of mortgage, I'm thinking about, okay, who has the title to the house at that point? And in typical mortgages, it's the financial institution until the mortgage is paid off.
That's one of the misunderstandings that who owns the house. I'm often asked, does the bank own the house? No, the homeowner continues to have ownership, full ownership of the home.
Okay, well, let's talk about how these mortgages, reverse mortgages, home equity loans are used and how do they benefit the senior population?
Okay. The homeowner can do anything they want with the proceeds of the reverse mortgage. A high-level view is that typically a homeowner can get about 50% of the value of their home. If they own a $200,000 home, they can have access to about $100,000. I've completed loans like this for several hundred clients, and there are a lot of different reasons they do the reverse mortgage. They use the proceeds of the reverse mortgage to pay off credit card debt. They use it to pay off an existing loan. There are cases where an individual has a significantly high current mortgage and they use a reverse mortgage just to pay that off.
So they don't have a house payment anymore.
Correct. They don't have a house payment. They may not walk away with any cash, but they have eliminated a monthly payment, which is life-saving for a lot of different clients.
Now, can I get you to back up just a minute? Typically, you say you have to be 62 years old. What if it's a husband and wife? Do they both have to be 62?
Up until August, the answer to that question would have been yes. You could not do a reverse mortgage unless both homeowners were at least 62 years old. FHA changed that rule in August of 2014. So one of the borrowers still has to be at least 62. But if one was younger, they could still do the loan, but the percentage of the equity that they got would be based on the younger borrower. So that might mean that financially it wouldn't make sense for them, but they still could do it. So, for example, if one of the homeowners was 75 years old and the spouse was 55 years old, previously they couldn't do the loan. After August and now they can do the loan, but the percentage of funds available to them is based on the 55-year-old age instead of the 75-year-old age.
So I'm assuming by that, Terry, that if everything were ideal and they, in an ideal world, qualify for 50% of the value of the home, because now the equity loan is based upon the younger age, it'll be something less than 50%.
Significantly. It could be 10% less, 15% less. And if they already have an existing mortgage they're trying to pay off, might not work, period.
But if it does work, and say the older borrower dies and they're married, what happens to that younger borrower?
The younger borrower still has access to that home, can still remain living in that home for the rest of their life, as long as they live. The difference is, if there was still money left in a line of credit that could have been drawn while the older borrower was alive, if the older borrower has died, then the younger borrower, younger than 62, can no longer draw any more funds from that line of credit.
Let me boy, I've got this thing. Let me ask.
I got another question.
Go ahead.
Okay. What about, so this is a loan for seniors. They're typically on a fixed income. Maybe they're not employed. Maybe their credit. Well, how about all that?
Well, the credit score has not mattered. Their income has not mattered. That's another big difference between a typical home equity loan and the reverse mortgage. Banks will not loan money to a client unless they know they can get paid back. So they always look at their employment. They look at their credit score to make sure it's a good risk. That has never mattered with reverse mortgages. There are pending changes, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but typically that has not mattered.
Let me, in my, obviously it always goes back to my personal experience. I'm 65, 68, 70, doesn't matter. And I want to retire. I still owe 15 years on a 30-year mortgage. The value of the house is, pick a number, $200,000. And I owe $100,000. Did I understand you correctly that I can reverse mortgage, and if I qualify for 50% of the value of the house, so I get $100,000, is that in theory? So
right.
I could pay off the $100,000 that I already owe. I make no more payments on the house. Now, I don't want to say this. I pay off the $100,000, so I make no more monthly mortgage payments. But when I die, then the proceeds from the sale of the house goes back to the reverse mortgage organization. Do I have that right?
That's correct. The numbers that you picked were exactly good numbers for the illustration. $200,000 home, you have access to $100,000. If you had an existing mortgage of $100,000, it would pay that off. You wouldn't walk away with any cash. You would not be able to draw any more funds.
I don't have the monthly payments.
Monthly payments
disappeared. And I stay in my home.
Exactly. It's an aging in place solution, right?
I mean, obviously, I'm. You all know my financial situation, so I'm relating to that. But I hadn't thought of it in that way. I mean, it's interesting.
Probably half of the clients that I talk to are in that situation. A good example is one spouse has died. They're living primarily on Social Security. So when one of the spouses has died, they lose one of the Social Security checks. So they were getting along okay, but one Social Security check has disappeared. So a client can do a reverse mortgage and draw funds, not one lump sum, but draw monthly payments from the reverse mortgage, and in many cases replace that missing Social Security check. So that's a common client that comes to me.
Do you have to own the home for a qualifying period of time before you can take it? In other words, I go out and I buy a new home. I'm 68. I go out and buy a new home. I close on that home. Can I then turn around right away? And if I have any equity in the home, do the reverse mortgage?
Yes, you still could. The amount of time that the homeowner has owned the home is not a factor at all. The amount of equity that they have in the home applies. So if you had made that purchase and you put 50% down, then you would still qualify.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Sure, right.
I don't know where the value of that would be, but I'd have to think that one through.
Right.
Now, if Brad were here, he'd already have
he'd
the financial.
Know,
oh, yeah,
he'd
know.
He's Mr. Math.
I mean, you watch him. Yeah.
Mary Jo asked me a question a little bit earlier about how are these funds used. I already mentioned it's used to pay off an existing mortgage. It can be used actually for any purpose whatsoever, but it can be used to pay off credit card debt. It can be used to help your grandchildren pay for college tuition. It can be used for needed home improvements, home modifications if there's a disability, if there needs to be ramps or changes made in the home. It can be used for prescription medicine. It can be used for in-home nursing care, personal care.
Anything, basically.
But why wouldn't I just get a home equity loan?
Very good question. Because you can't, probably.
I can answer that, but we'll let Terry, since he's the expert.
You might not be able to be a good risk for the bank. You might not qualify for
even
a home
equity. I have 50% equity in the...
If you had a poor credit score or you weren't employed, you still might not qualify for the loan.
Oh, even though that I have the equity in the house.
Correct.
And
now that's a regular home loan, though. For a reverse, it doesn't it doesn't play in.
And then, but if he goes to a regular home equity loan, then there's payments involved.
Absolutely. That's a better answer.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it.
Typically, most home equity loans have to be paid back over either a 5 or a 10 year period. So the challenge or the ability for you to begin making payments monthly might not work for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now here's you know, people say, well, that sounds too good to be true. And as we were discussing before we went on air, it's really not a magic bullet. At some point, somebody has to be paid for this loan. And so there is a cost to it, right, Terry? I mean, in the end, but do the kids, does the cost fall to the children?
Let me answer that question for you as simply as I can. The loan is due when the home is sold, of course, or when the last borrower dies. That's when the loan is due. The amount due is the original amount borrowed plus closing costs and the total of the interest that accrues over the years. Any other loan you've ever done, you borrow money for a car, you make a payment every month. So the loan balance gets smaller every month after every payment. With a reverse mortgage, you make no payments. So you have an initial loan balance and then interest accrues on that loan month after month, year after year. So after the last borrower dies or after you sell the house or after the last borrower moves out for any reason, the loan is due. The loan can be repaid by selling the house, or if the family wants to keep the house, they would need to take out a new mortgage. But regardless of whether it's the borrower who is selling the house or whether the borrower has died and the estate inherits the house, they owe no more than the value of the home at the time it's sold. So we'll go back to that $200,000 example. $200,000 home, $100,000 is borrowed by Sam. He lives in the house for the next 25 years and moves on to heaven. The balance of the loan at that point is, we'll say, $250,000, right. And the amount owed on the home is $250,000. The estate can just walk away from it. They have absolutely no responsibility whatsoever. Let's say the house at that time is worth $300,000 and the loan balance is $250,000. The estate would most likely sell the home, pay off the $250,000, and pocket the other $50,000.
Go back to the first example. The home is worth two. The balance on the loan is $250,000, and you said that the estate walks away.
Correct.
All right. So now, assuming the financial institution is obtaining or selling the house and paying off the loan, what happens if there's not enough to pay off the $250,000?
So the loan is upside down, regardless whether it's $1,000 or $50,000.
Right.
That difference is paid for by FHA mortgage insurance.
Not the estate.
Not the children. Yeah. Doesn't matter what their assets are. They can be millionaires or paupers. They have no responsibility whatsoever.
Okay, so let's go back to Mary Jo. So on paper, and I guess even reality, a downside is the principal that is obtained is never reduced. Therefore, the interest that is added to that goes up far quicker than on a conventional mortgage or loan because you're never reducing principal.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And what's a typical interest rate for a reverse mortgage?
That's a good question too, Lee. We have a fixed rate program and we have an adjustable rate program. The fixed rate program has been pretty consistent over the last 8 years of just over 5%. Right now it's 5.06%. The adjustable rate, it varies, of course. It's currently about 3.1%. It has a 5% cap, so the 3.1 can go up as high as 8.1. But the 8 years I've been involved in it, it hasn't been over 3.6.
But Sam Grass, word of caution, I started my business career in the late 70s when prime was 18%.
I bought my first house when prime was 18%.
I can tell this story. I remember vividly my brother being in business and giving me a check for $100,000 to go make a payment. And I can't tell you how much was in interest and what little bit went to principal.
I
mean,
be careful. Go ahead, Terry.
I'd like to talk a little bit about a program that was not initially part of the HECM program in 1989, and that is a reverse for purchase. The reverse for purchase was introduced by FHA in 2009. The way that works is, imagine a family living in Chicago. Their kids all live in Atlanta. They're tired of the winter. They want to live close to their kids in Atlanta. So they sell their $300,000 home in Chicago. They walk away with $280,000 after they pay the commissions, et cetera. So they have $280,000 in cash. They can come to Atlanta. They want a ranch-style home. They don't want a two-story home anymore. They could buy a $280,000 house with that cash that they have in their pocket. Or with this FHA reverse for purchase, they can buy a home for a 50% down payment. So they could buy a house in Atlanta or anywhere else that they choose for. They could buy a $280,000 home for 50% down payment, $140,000. And then the other $140,000, they can put in a savings account, a 401k. They can use it as a nest egg. So it leverages their, what in many cases might be their last purchase. They don't have to use all the cash that they have available. Program was introduced in 2009. It's been a big success.
So, okay, I got to talk about examples. When you do that, you have a $140,000, I guess, still a reverse mortgage, or I guess it's reverse for purchase mortgage.
Correct.
You have $140,000 in the bank drawing interest. The owners die. They sell the house. That ends up paying off the $140,000 for the reverse and still have $140,000 in savings. Did I get that right?
If that happened right away, but if they live there,
right.
If as long as they live, all the other rules that I described for a normal reverse for purchase or reverse mortgage apply to the reverse for purchase.
Okay, so they put the $140,000 in the savings, and it grows at a nominal rate. 4 or 5%.
I was going to say, hopefully it's a better investment than savings.
Well, but even if it's not, even if the $140,000 on the reverse purchase ends up being at the time of death or sale of the property, $250,000, and they sell the house for $200,000, the $50,000 is still forgiven or absorbed by the government, and we still have the $140,000 plus interest over here in the side
for
of
the kids.
Right? The government doesn't come in and say, you got this over here, you got it, right?
Correct. You understand it correctly.
I know. See,
the surface and with my limited ability to think through detail, that's too good to be true.
Another example, an individual came to me whose parents lived in South Georgia. They wanted to move up to the Atlanta area. They had a modest home. They were selling for about $110,000, and they were fearful that they wouldn't buy anything, their 110 couldn't buy a nice house in Atlanta, so they could buy twice as much house as they thought they could afford. They could buy a $220,000 home. Mary Jo, looks like you have a question.
Well, it's not good to be true. You just have to understand the consequences. I want you, if you didn't notice, our last names are the same. This is a trusted.
We won't hold that against Terry.
Yeah, this is a trusted business affiliate. He's also
what goes around comes
he's
around.
He's also my husband, but I've been so impressed with some of the stories. And before we go off the air, Terry, I'd love for you to tell them just one or two of the particular examples of you know the reverse mortgages and what it's done for folks.
Okay.
Maybe Miss Edna or something.
Some really interesting contrast. I had an individual who lived in a modest home in Conyers, $80,000 home, a widower. He did a reverse mortgage, paid off a small balance on his used car. But what he was so happy about at closing was, he said, now I have enough money that on Sundays after church, I can go to Golden Corral with my friends.
Yeah.
Before that, his budget was so tight, he lived on Social Security, about $1,000 a month. So this reverse mortgage wasn't to buy an airplane or a yacht. It was to enjoy something as simple as, you know, lunch with my friends after church.
But it's not always need-based, right? What about the guy who bought the investment property?
client happened to be in Cartersville. He had a $200,000 home. He had access to $100,000 worth of reverse mortgage. He didn't need that much. He pulled $50,000 out to buy an investment property. He bought a modest home that he knew was well underpriced. So his plan was to, you know, put a few thousand dollars more into it and then sell that investment property. We'll do far, far better than the 1% that he can make in in a savings account.
And the qualifying age is 62. Is that what you said?
Correct.
I know.
Everyone's looking at me. I'm trying to figure this out.
He's counting how old he is.
And then there is a needs-based where people just don't realize that they can take that money out of their home and pay for home care, and they never have to go in a nursing home again.
Absolutely.
But they never have to go in a nursing home.
I mean, you know, for an investment strategy, it can be, on the surface, and I'm going to qualify this. I haven't thought through details, and I don't know if I'm intelligent enough to do it. But on the surface, you've got access to investment funds that you can put to work for you, and you don't have a debt retirement plan or need.
That means
that those investments, the return on that investment is something greater than borrowing money for an investment, whether it be a business or whether it be
all the penalties and all that stuff.
Now, you know, the obvious cost is your heirs don't get your home, but I don't know about you guys. There are certain homes that the heirs are very interested in, the lakefront estate, the beach house in Florida. But my little house in Roswell, my kids don't want that house.
My kids went to very, very good schools to take care of themselves. Okay, I'm trying to take care of myself.
That's right. And you know what? Sometimes that's what this does, is it keeps the kids from having the burden of the parents
I see that as being as great a value as anything, is not having the financial burden on the children, even though that down the road, you know, 20 years or whenever the death of the sale of the house, they're not going to
still not burdened.
They're not burdened.
Now, does it only work on primary, the house you live in, or can it work on like a second house?
Only the primary residence, Lee.
And how's that defined? Applies. How's primary defined?
The residence needs to be occupied 6 months and one day out of the year. So, I mean, there aren't mortgage police driving
around.
You can
work that out, Lee. I mean, you just get on your plane and fly to the beach and and come back for the show. I mean, you can do that.
Terry.
I do it now.
I know you do.
That other thing, there's one other thing that I just learned about recently, that credit line, where the balance in the credit grows by the interest.
Well, for example, the same $200,000 home we talked about, if the borrower had access to $100,000, maybe they had $50,000 worth of credit card debt that they wanted to eliminate. The other $50,000 they put in a line of credit, and the line of credit grows for them at a point and a quarter higher than what we charge them on the loan balance. So they borrowed $50,000 from us. We're charging them 3.1% interest on that loan balance. The other $50,000 that goes into a line of credit grows for them at 4.25%. So that's something that financial advisors really like.
Did you get all that, Sam?
Yeah, almost. You can almost. I mean, because you don't have quite the same initial principles, but you can almost stay up with the cost of the interest added to your home. Well, you gain a little bit. I'll put it like that.
It depends what the numbers were.
How is the house appraised? Like, how do you determine the value of the house?
A standard FHA certified appraiser has to determine that. So the appraisal was done at the very beginning to determine in today's marketplace what is that home worth.
But what about, like, say you did it 5 years ago at the peak of the, you know, when they were, houses seemingly were overinflated, and then they go down in value $50,000 or $100,000. Is there any penalty, or how's that work?
It doesn't matter what the home was worth 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even 6 months ago. It matters what the current appraisal is determining the market value at that time.
They'll never have to pay back more than what they borrowed.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like a house could have...
But they won't pay back more than the value of the current value of the house.
Right, but if the house was valued at $200,000, but today it's only, and they get $100,000, and today it's only worth $100,000.
Well, then it might not work.
No, it will, because you sell the house. Your example. I'm sorry, Terry. I mean, I know this stuff. You know, allow me to speak. Go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
Since there are never any payments due, it doesn't matter if there's a difference between what the house appraised for at the time the loan is closed. So I don't know.
So the reverse mortgage company loses in this case.
Well, it's the government that comes in and pays
it's
the difference.
It's being insured right.
Well, and the FHA piggy bank that makes sure that the lender gets paid back and that the homeowners are made whole is funded by FHA mortgage insurance up front and an ongoing 1.25% every year.
How do they reach you, Terry?
If they're interested. I want to keep this conversation going. You got another show?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. I guess that's my cue.
You can invite him back.
That was my cue.
You're allowed to invite him back.
Terry, again, time has gone, flown by. Great. I learned every time I do one of these shows about reverse mortgages, I learn more. And it becomes more exciting. And I think that tells people, I've done, and you know this, I've done numerous shows on reverse mortgage. And the more I hear and the more we talk about, the more the old cop wheels spin and going, whoa, wait a minute now. This is a good situation. I can see how this can be valuable. So anyway, with that plug, is there anything that we have not covered in this rambling conversation that you'd like to speak to?
There is a change coming April 27th that's called financial assessment. I mentioned earlier that credit score does not matter and employment does not matter. The change that's coming is to make sure that the homeowner is able to pay their property taxes. Okay. Although there's never any payment on the loan, they do have to keep the home maintained FHA standards, decent roof, good paint job. They have to pay their hazard homeowners insurance, and they have to pay their property taxes.
Just if you owned a house. I mean, right?
Right.
Same thing whether you have a mortgage or not. So the change is called financial assessment, and it's to determine that the homeowner has a good record of paying their property taxes. They want to make sure that long-term that a homeowner is able to pay the property taxes.
Yeah, I can see where that goes. It goes delinquent for taxes, and someone wins a tax lien against the house. And, of course, I guess the reverse mortgage has the first refusal on that, right?
Yeah. Well, the negative result of that is the reverse mortgage gets a bad rap, and it shouldn't, because everybody has to pay their property taxes, whether their home is paid for free or clear or has a forward mortgage.
The tip there is to call Terry Bowser before April 27th.
That's good. Terry, I gotta tell you, you were quite a pinch hitter. I appreciate it.
Well, a pleasure to be here. I really believe in the product. If you hear Heckam is a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
One and the same thing.
Tell us how the listening audience can reach you or reach out to CBC National Bank.
Okay. The email address is terry.bowser@cbcnationalbank.com, terry.bowser@cbcnationalbank.com.
And what about a telephone number?
Cell phone is 404-642-6021.
And as we did previously, I want to invite you back. Good information. You run with the subject well. I don't have to ask very intelligent questions. You make me sound smart. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
A pleasure. Thank you, Sam and Mary Jo, and thanks, Lee.
Sure
appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Terry, once again. And we want to remind the listening audience that they always can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at ugeriaradio.com. And as we close, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.